Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not recommendations, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.
Glen Hare and business partner Jessica Brady formed their own financial planning business in 2017, targeting millennials like themselves. They saw a gap in the market that wasn't being serviced by other advisors. Most other advisors were seeing people close to retirement age, but they thought that the millennial market, now aged 25 to 40, were the ones making big life decisions like buying a house, starting a family, or building their wealth, and they were the ones that needed help. Today, Glen joins me to talk about his business and what financial planning means to millennials. Welcome, Glen. Thanks for joining us today. Glen, please can you tell us a bit about your business, how it started, how you ended up where you are?
Of course. So Fox & Hare started about 3.5 years ago. I started with my business partner, Jessica Brady. I was at Macquarie Bank for just over 10 years and worked with a number of advisors. And what we noticed, Jess and I noticed that most advisors work with those that are about to retire or post-retirees. And we saw an opportunity to work with a very different demographic to who typically seeks financial advice. And if you look at the advice industry, the average age of a financial advisor is 55, and most people don't seek financial advice until they're about 5 years from retirement. And Jess and I kind of took a step back and thought, well, who's working with everyone else to navigate all the big decisions that happen before then?
And were you looking at your friends and your workmates and thinking they need help here, or I can see a problem there, I could fix that?
Yeah, definitely. I saw a lot of people that weren't necessarily motivated by money, but they were motivated by what it could afford them. So they, you know, wanted to start a family or they wanted to buy a house, and they were probably more winging it and rather than actually having a clear strategy and plan in place in order to work towards those goals.
So you worked at Macquarie and then you just came together to form Fox & Hare. Mm-hmm. And who did you have clients lined up at that point? How did you advertise yourselves? How did you get well known? How did you build up your community?
Good question. So who we worked with at Macquarie is very different to who we work with through Fox & Hare. We were really, really fortunate. We do a lot of work within the community for specific charities, our friends, and thankfully a lot of the branding and the advertising we did really resonated. And it's probably something that a lot of people hadn't seen before, because I believe that there is this preconceived notion that financial advice is just for old rich people. Whereas all the branding and the marketing and everything that we do is really focused on people that look like us. So, you know, younger people.
And so obviously, you know, what is top of mind for people like you, because it's you. Yeah. So what exactly is top of mind right now?
Good question. So there's probably a couple of things. Given the current climate with, you know, COVID and things like that, what we have noticed is there are a number of people that are probably saving a little bit more. If they've been fortunate enough to, you know, keep their jobs and keep the income coming through, we're not traveling overseas and doing big, you know, big lavish trips. We're not eating out as much. So the disposable income at the end of each month is a little more than potentially it was a couple of years ago. And one of the key themes, that comes through over and over again when talking to our member base is, you know, they reached out in the first place because they had savings and they weren't really sure what to do with it. And they weren't doing anything because they were worried about making the wrong decision. So they made no decision. And then the second thing is they know that they want to make their money work harder, but they're just not sure how. And in terms of what they're making that money work harder towards, it's, you know, buying their first home, buying their first investment property, you know, working towards building a passive income, looking at, you know, starting a family, and potentially we have a number of members that, you know, want to, you know, start their own business in time to come.
So if we look at those things separately, when it comes to property, how are millennials feeling about property? Because we hear that it's really unaffordable for a lot of people to buy a home in the big cities like Sydney. So what's happening with your client base?
So the way that we approach it, I mean, again, it is very much case by case. You know, we have a number of members that have work in the tech industry, and you know, companies like Google and Atlassian and LinkedIn, and they've actually done incredibly well. So they've been able to kind of get on that property ladder, particularly in recent months with you know, I guess COVID really catapulting the tech industry. For the broader community, it's about kind of building blocks. So if we're not able to buy, an apartment here in, say, let's just say inner city Sydney, Surry Hills, where you're going to spend about $1 million on a one, or maybe if you're lucky, a two bedroom apartment, it's about building the blocks to enable you to get there at some point, if that is the goal. And that could potentially be an investment property in another capital city, or that could be building out a stock portfolio, ensuring that our money is working harder than what it would be in a bank account. But summarizing all of that, it's about setting a really clear strategy and sticking to it. Because if we don't set that really clear strategy, then how are we going to know where we're going to be, where we want to be?
And are millennials really concerned about property? Is it top of mind?
Definitely. Property comes up in most of my conversations. That's because generally people default to property. I love real property. I'm personally invested in real property, but I also look at investing in shares and managed funds, and also obviously have a nice cash buffer and things like that. So it's for a lot of millennials, sometimes it's looked at as the only option rather than looking more broadly.
And is rent vesting a thing in this cohort?
Definitely. So I was literally speaking to a member this morning. They live in the eastern suburbs. They live in a property that if they bought would cost them about $3 million. Rent in Sydney, in comparison to the actual value of the property, is relatively low in comparison to some of the other capital cities. So the conversation that we're having with them, and they have two small children as well, so they need the space. So they're going to rent in the east where they enjoy living, where their family is, but they're actually looking to buy a house up in Brisbane to make sure that, again, the money that they have saved is not just sitting in a bank account, it's working harder, but they are living where they do want to.
And what sort of percentage of your clients knows much about investing in the stock market or investing in managed funds? Or
very few. So very few people reach out to us that have built out a stock portfolio or have built out, you know, a portfolio of exchange traded funds or managed funds. And if they have, they almost frame it as, oh, we've dabbled, oh, we've tried, or we've put a little bit in, without a lot of structure around it. And you know, it's interesting because there's so much opportunity there. And the conversation that we had back February, March last year, when the Australian stock market dropped off 35%, for our cohort, that was a really if you had a cash buffer and you were pretty confident that you were going to be able to keep your job, that was a huge opportunity for a lot of our members. Because they, you know, maybe had surplus cash that they could invest at that time to take advantage of the upswing.
And so something like that happens, you see that, you know, shares are selling at a discount. Mm. How do you let your members know?
Phone call. We called every single member that we believe was in a position to take advantage of this. And look, that does come with a degree of risk. In terms of when is the market going to bounce back. But what the conversation we were having with members was, if you look at historical data, yes, it's dropped off by 35%, but if we're going into this investment with a long-term 5-10 year view, then this may be something you want to consider. The caveat to that being always making sure that we have a nice cash buffer. You know, we'd want to make sure that they felt pretty confident that they weren't going to lose their job. And also, if we are making this investment, what goal does that specifically tie to?
And so what do your community, what do they want from you? Do they want you to give them investment advice? Do they want you to structure their finances? What are they asking for?
So our members really lean on us, and we encourage them to, for any financial decision or any decision that has financial implications. So everything from day-to-day cash flow or budgeting, investment advice, whether that be property, shares, managed funds, exchange-traded funds. We're reviewing their superannuation. We're helping them with their personal insurances. We're looking at tax minimization strategies. So the way that we phrase it, we look at every aspect of your financial world and work out how do we drive towards the goals. And that's the important piece, right? You know, is it buying the house? Is it starting a family? Is it generating a passive income? They're the goals. And then we work out together with the member which, you know, the different strategies, talking through the pros, the cons, the risks, the potential returns to formulate the game plan.
And how often do you need to be in touch to make sure people are on track?
So with our programs, there's probably three key touch points. The first is progress meetings. So that's where we reach out to our members every 12 to 16 weeks, and we use a traffic light system. So the way that we measure success is based on, are our members achieving what they have set out to achieve? Are they green? Are they on track? They're going to achieve what they've set out to achieve. Are they red? They're not sticking to the strategy, or their goals have changed and we need to pivot the game plan. Or are they amber? Are they working towards it, but there's probably more that we could be doing? We encourage our members to reach out to us whenever they need to. So if their circumstances change, if their income changes, if they get paid a bonus, you know, coming up to the end of financial year for tax planning, you know, when they get their tax return, if their goals change, we again want to be part of those conversations. The third thing is we also give them access to our wealth portal. So that's an app that sits on their phone. So it's really powerful for them because they get visibility over their entire financial wealth. So it pulls through data from investment accounts, their super, which they often forget about, you know, bank accounts, things like that. Really powerful for us because we can see their overall financial world and whether they're sticking to the strategy or not.
And what sort of apps do they generally use? Like, what's common for millennials to have?
So some of the investment apps that we see quite often when people reach out is Raise is quite common. More recently, one of our members got a brochure for, I think it's called Upstreet, which is a platform, and he got a brochure in his Marley Spoon delivery, which I thought was a unique kind of brand positioning. Also Spaceships is another one from a super perspective. So these apps look amazing, they certainly have their benefits. But one thing that I always bring up in conversation is awesome. Let's explore these, but you need to make sure you understand what it is your money is actually being invested in.
And I guess in this age group, there's a lot of relationship issues, like people getting together, people mm-hmm. splitting up and mm-hmm. so on. Is that a big thing that you see with your clients?
Definitely. So one of our best referral partners is a relationship counsellor, because her belief is if people actually spoke about their finances and their financial world, they'll actually be just far happier in their personal relationships. And the thing is, in terms of whenever we're working with a couple, we always mandate that both individuals come to each session. In a household, generally speaking, there is one member of the relationship that's probably more hands-on when it comes to the financial perspective, and that's totally okay. But we need to make sure that the couple, both individuals, are on the same page. And if one person was only coming to the meeting and then they had to relay what was discussed to the other, it creates the Chinese whispers challenge.
And what sort of challenges are there when you've got a client as a single person mm. and then they're starting to see someone else and they've mm-hmm. got to maybe combine money or accommodation or whatever it is?
Yeah, we do, given the demographic, we do see this quite often. And in some circumstances, we've been working with an individual for a period and, you know, working on their goals and their strategy. And then the relationship that they're in gets a little bit more serious and we start talking about family and marriage and you know, potentially buying a house together. At that point, we have a conversation around, okay, you know, a lot of your goals now are joint goals. Therefore, we need to start thinking about your finances at a household level, because there are specific strategies and there are ways to optimize finances at a household level to drive towards those goals. And then therefore the chance of success would be far, far greater.
And I guess a lot of people probably think that, you know, making wills and getting your estate planning in order is something for when you're much older.
Totally.
But you probably don't.
No. So again, estate planning, like insurance, it's not the most exciting conversation in the world, but it is incredibly important because from an estate planning perspective, if the unforeseen were to happen, you obviously want to make sure that the wealth that you had accumulated is managed in a way that you're comfortable with. And even from an insurance perspective, and I'll just use income protection as an example, when we're younger, that's probably more likely when we will actually need it, because we're taking out big mortgages, we're starting a family, we've got a lot of obligations. Therefore, we want to make sure that if something were to occur, you know, our household wasn't completely disrupted.
And what about in case you split up, how do you look at a couple and sort of prepare them for, you know, what might eventuate?
Interestingly, given the demographic we work with, there's a lot of coming together. We have had a few split up as well, unfortunately. But it's about having a pragmatic conversation around, okay, well, you know, how have we built our wealth? What does it look like? What pieces of our overall wealth does one person want to keep and the other one want to keep? And I think the overarching comment to that would trying to keep a level head. Because if things do get a little bit more challenging, it can be quite a costly exercise.
And so when a client comes to you, mm-hmm. and they've maybe been referred or whatever, do they know what you can offer them?
Generally, no. So most people, I reckon about 95% of people that reach out to us have never seen a financial advisor before. And I can even see it on their face when first having that casual conversation over a coffee. They're unsure as to whether this is the right step for them. So for us, it's about creating that safe space and really educating on, you know, the areas that we can specifically add value based on their circumstances. But the reason why people reach out to us is because they know they should do something, or they've gotten to a point where they've kind of set a foundation and they're at a point where they're like, okay, I want to take it to the next level.
And are there any particular challenges that this demographic has that perhaps baby boomers or Gen Xers haven't?
So often finance is one of those things, or getting one's financial world sorted, is one of those things that's very easy to put on the back burner. So I do see a lot of people prioritize the travel, the new car, you know, the paying the high levels of rent to you know, live in an area that they love. And some people are concerned when they reach out to us that we're going to say, oh, you can't do that anymore. No more travel. No more, you know, you've got to move, you know, to a different location, things like that. That's not the conversation. But what we need to do is find a little bit more balance to make sure that, yeah, we're enjoying our lives now, but not to the detriment of the future.
And do you think that Gen Ys have got a harder time economically than predecessors?
Good question. Not necessarily, because, I mean, yes, property prices are going up, but, you know, there is obviously opportunity in kind of the stock market as well. And everyone's running their own race. Like, from a financial perspective, everyone's running their own kind of financial journey as well. I think comparing us to previous generations probably won't do us any good. I think it's just about going, okay, well, where are we today? What do we have at our disposal? What does our household income look like? What are our goals? And then working based on what we do know.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Friends with Money. Millennials is the focus of the August 2021 issue of Money Magazine. You can get your copy at newsagents and supermarkets, or order a copy online at magshop.com.au.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider your personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any of the content without further independent financial research and advice.